From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. California voters will be asked to decide on a number of ballot measures, propositions or props, they're often called. Most of them are straightforward, but a few are tricky in the language. So we invited Dan Moraine to join us for this conversation. Dan was a longtime opinion writer for the Sacramento Bee. He's now senior editor at Cal Matters. We're also going to get his take on two notable debates yesterday. Dan's in the studio. Welcome.
Good to be here, Beth.
Always a pleasure to have you back. I do want to start, though, with the breaking news this morning that UN Ambassador Nikki Haley has resigned. This is in the same week as that UN report on climate change. And what I want to play here with you is, what do you think she's going to do?
Well, isn't it interesting? She's one of the few women in the Trump cabinet, high-ranking, high-profile person, very smart, and is popular among Democrats and Republicans. So I think she's got a huge future, whatever she chooses to do. It's not going to be run for president in 2020. I just think that that's crazy. Unless, of course, Trump doesn't run, then she would run.
She's said as much.
Yes.
She has said, I'm not taking this break right now to run for president.
No. But she could. I could see, she is from South Carolina. She was the governor of South Carolina. Lindsey Graham is the senator from South Carolina who very clearly is angling to get into the Trump White House. So I could well see her replacing Lindsey Graham should he make his way into, the U.S. Justice Department as Attorney General, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. So, but who knows?
All right. So with that shifting and with you bringing up Lindsey Graham, let me switch here to now Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And I want to talk about the impact of that process on this statewide race here for Dianne Feinstein, the Senate race against Kevin DeLeon, and what impact you think that might have for or against her in the race.
Well, it is interesting that she had such a prominent role here. She is the Democrat with the greatest amount of seniority on the U.S. In the Senate Judiciary Committee. So she played a pivotal role. Now, I also am not sure that we know the full story of the role that she played. I don't, certainly. She did receive the letter from Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. And that letter did make its way into the public domain. After a gap of time, right? So her opponent, Kevin DeLeon, has criticized her for lack of leadership. I'm not sure he's the best messenger for that message. He had issues when he was in the state Senate, not personal issues, but around him. Certainly his roommate, Tony Mendoza, for example, was run out of the Senate for impropriety. Feinstein has far more money than DeLeon, far more name recognition. I just don't see this as bringing her down. It will cost her some votes, but it may gain her some votes.
There had been, according to polls, quite a gap in the race already. And the PS to my saying after a gap of time is that she says she was respecting confidentiality that was requested. Have you talked to people who believe that she manipulated for politics' sake the handling of the letter, who believe that she lied in the process?
Well, I've known Dianne Feinstein since 1984. I don't think that she lies. But certainly there are people who believe it, people who believe that she manipulated the process. But again, I don't think we know yet. I just don't think we know. We may never exactly know who leaked Christine Blasey Ford's name. I could well see her deciding that it was more important to allow Dr. Ford to make the decision and to keep it confidential. Now, she clearly the letter got out. So how that happened, I don't think we yet know the answer to that.
This may be along the lines of the Watergate stories that we didn't know the rest of for a number of decades.
Yeah.
That down the road, somebody may want to tell the fuller story or a different story with some gap.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, the truth comes out. It always does. So I do think we'll know. I don't think we know on this day.
I want to switch to the gubernatorial debate, which happened yesterday. And first, your general impression that we're going to listen to a specific part of the debate.
Well, I thought it was a pretty substantial debate. They covered a lot of issues. They didn't cover all the issues. It was disappointing that they didn't talk about public education, which takes the bulk of the state budget, as you know. I wish they'd have another debate. Maybe they would come over to Capitol Public Radio. I think that this is useful. Now, Gavin Newsom is way ahead in the polls. He's way ahead in terms of the amount of money he has. It's his race to lose. So he has very little incentive to sit down again with John Cox and debate. That's unfortunate.
We've tried, by the way.
Yeah.
We've tried. We'll keep trying. Wouldn't it be something if they thought, well, you know, that served some purpose yesterday.
Yes, it did.
Let's agree to another debate that there can be a change of thought and there is still time.
Right. And it's not as if Newsom can't handle himself, right? I mean, he's very good. I was kind of surprised that Cox wasn't a little more specific on his proposals. I mean, this is a guy who's made money in development. I would think he would have come with some very specific suggestions about how to fix our housing crisis, which is truly one of the huge issues.
That was the first topic of the day.
Yeah.
Let's go to one of the final topics, which was sanctuary policy. And let's listen to an exchange. I believe you're going to hear the moderator, Scott Schaefer, first, then John Cox, then Gavin Newsom.
You said you'd get rid of the sanctuary law.
Would get rid of the sanctuary law.
How would you get rid of it?
Well, I think we need to get the legislature to do that. And if they don't do it, I think we need to get it to a vote of the people. This law, I think, is very unpopular. I think it sends the wrong message. I think people want to know that they're going to have their law enforcement officials work together.
Here's one of the clearest points of contrast between myself and John Cox. He's someone who believes very passionately in building the wall. He believes that sanctuary policy should be eliminated. He believes in the elimination, as he refers to it, of chain migration, which is nothing more than family reunification. He parrots in almost every opportunity Donald Trump and Trumpism, and Trump would have an advocate in Sacramento if he becomes the next governor.
Three times the use of Trump in that last half sentence.
That's right. I mean, Newsom wants to make clear at every opportunity that President Trump, who's highly unpopular in California, endorsed Cox. Cox might not be the nominee, but for Trump's endorsement of him in the primary. And, Cox, you can't run away from that if you're John Cox, right? But Cox won't talk about Trump. I mean, he's just never in a public setting got out of the words Donald Trump, because Trump is 40% or below in California in terms of favorability.
Let me ask you about the congressional debate that happened yesterday for the district with Tom McClintock, longtime Republican congressman there, and his challenger, Jessica Morse. In terms of that debate, which was their second.
Right.
And it's not one of the most competitive
No.
races in California, but what was highlighted for you?
Well, one of the things that has always impressed me by Tom McClintock is he's always willing to mix it up. Now, whether you agree with the guy or not, he's willing to debate. This is a race that is his to lose. I mean, Republicans, it is among the very most Republican districts in California, and he's been there for a lot of years, so people know his name. He's been in that seat for a lot of years. He doesn't live in the district, as Jessica Morse pointed out more than once during the debate. Now, Jessica Morse has raised a ton of money. She's got clearly a lot of support. Now, the demographics of that district are changing as it's changing all up and down California. So this may be a four-year campaign, not a two-year campaign. I mean, I'm not sure that a Democrat could win this year in that seat, but maybe in 2 years or 4 years, just because California is changing, it is becoming much less Republican, even in that district.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to CalMatters senior editor Dan Morain. I do want to get to a few of the ballot measures and to get to some of the language. First of all, there are 12 ballot measures in number. There will only be 11 that Californians will vote on. A quick explanation?
Well, one of the measures the California Supreme Court pointed out was illegal on its face. This was to split California up. This was the brainstorm of a wealthy Silicon Valley guy, and we're not going to vote on that.
So there's no Prop 9,
right?
No
which
choice,
which would have been the most interesting fun initiative. But
yeah, do we have a California illegal and a Northern California and a Southern California? There will be no vote on number 9. There was a debate in Sacramento yesterday on Prop 6, and I want to talk about Prop 6 because it proposes to repeal the Road Repair and Accountability Act, gas tax, as a number of people say it. But I think it's worth explaining, what's a yes on 6 and what's a no on 6?
So this is
tricky.
This is why Californians love to hate initiatives, right? I mean, we don't want anybody really to mess with their right to initiative, but we vote against almost all initiatives because we really don't trust them. So a yes vote here means repeal the gas tax. So it's oddly worded, and a no vote means keep the gas tax in place, and also keep the $5.2 billion a year that gas tax and car fee increase generates for road and bridge repair, right? So that's the fight. In my view, both sides omit essential facts. The proponents of the repeal, so the yes on Prop 6 people, really neglect to say that this generates $5.2 billion to fix roads and bridges. And the no people really do neglect to say this would, you know, reduce the gasoline tax by 12 cents per gallon, right? So they're both half right and half wrong.
So just to review it, a yes means yes to repeal the gas tax. A no means I don't want to repeal it. I want it to stay in place.
You want it to stay in place and you want the money to fix potholes.
Okay, Prop 10 is the rent control question. Again, I think the language is tricky there, and there's a lot of campaigning around single-family home and rents. So just in its basic yes and no, what does a yes on 10 mean?
So a yes on 10 means that cities and counties, municipalities, can vote on whether to expand rent control in their jurisdictions. Right now, there's a state law that all but precludes rent control in most cities, and so this would repeal that law. And
so that's really what Prop 10 is about.
That's what it's about.
Are you going to repeal the Costa-Hawkins Rental Housing Act?
Right, right, yes, that's exactly what it is, but you know, it has great implications. It has, as the opponents of this will point out, this could stymie, this could stop apartment construction. The proponents point out, well, you know, these apartments many of them are owned by huge, big out-of-state corporations. So which are quite happy to raise rents to as much as the market will bear.
We on Insight are going to cover these propositions again before Election Day, but I want to wrap up with one final quick point, and that is Prop 7, daylight saving time forever. Permanent daylight saving time. A yes vote doesn't mean that's what happens.
No. So exactly right. So if you vote yes to repeal daylight savings time, what you're doing is you're allowing the legislature by a two-thirds vote to decide whether to repeal it. And then it's up to Congress and President Trump whether they want to allow California to repeal daylight savings time. So this is one step in a long road. So
okay, good. I think it's important to cover this a couple times because we all love those proposition right. conversations where we say, well, what does this one really mean? And then how do we want to vote? So
yes. Well, I should say that Cap Public Radio does a terrific job of putting pieces together on initiatives, and so does CalMatters. So check out our election guide at calmatters.org.
We'll post a link and to your daily newsletters too. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you.
That is CalMatters senior editor Dan Moraine, and those links will be at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.
We got support from Famous Kebab Restaurant, specializing in Persian cuisine, including kebabs, rice, stews, and vegetarian options, featuring an old-fashioned stone oven where they bake fresh bread daily, open 7 days a week on the corner of Fulton and Hurley. And join us in support of the Sacramento Public Library Foundation's Walk for Literacy, an event to create literacy awareness and help children read and write at grade level, October 20th, capradio.org/events.
A UC Davis doctor is preparing for a four-month sabbatical to the South Pole, where he will serve as a primary physician for about 150 people. Dr. John Rose leaves this weekend, and you will hear that coming up next, all about his work on Insight with Beth Ruyak. Hello, good morning. My name is Jessica Maria Ross, and I am so excited to be here with Steve Milne, our anchor for Morning News, for Morning Edition. You know, I'm so excited because I am such a fan of Insight with Beth Ruyak. I actually listen every day because it features the interviews with local people doing important and interesting things. And your support of Cap Radio provides this kind of resource to everyone in our community to find out about all the cool community events and organizations.
Well, you know, hearing Dan Moraine of CalMatters on Cap Radio is just an illustration of how Cap Radio is committed to keeping you informed this election season. I mean, we had the gubernatorial debate yesterday. Actually, 3 hours of coverage. We had the pre-debate coverage with Insight and Beth Ruyak, and then the post-debate coverage with Beth Ruyak and Insight. So, and that was during a fund drive. So we stopped the fund drive to do that coverage. Again, that's something you expect from Cap Radio. You want the serious news. You want to know what's going on in the election and in state government and government throughout the world. And, of course, the U.S., you listen to NPR for that. And for California, you listen to Cap Radio. Your coverage is paid for by your support. So please do it now, 1-800-800-5867. You can also go to our website and contribute safely and securely. That website address is capradio.org.
You know, talk shows like Insight with Beth Ruyak are challenging, they're civil, they're intelligent, and they're down to earth all at once. It's a really nice break from the kind of partisan bickering that you hear a lot on other media outlets. Here, we are all about civil discourse and dialogue. It's the kind of coverage and respectful conversation that you expect from public radio. So if that's something that you are interested in, you want to support this morning, we really encourage you to step up. And you can do that by calling 1-800-800-5867. Once again, that is 1-800-800-5867. Or, as Steve said, you can always find us at capradio.org.
You know, Cap Radio launched the Yosemite Land podcast this year and now a travel mug to go with it. Contribute $22 a month and we'll send it your way. Find pictures of the mug when you donate online at capradio.org. And if you haven't checked out Yosemite Land, a great podcast led by Ezra David Romero, our environmental reporter. Sally Schilling is the producer. A lot of staff people work on that podcast. Check it out. It's been a really popular podcast. A lot of people are downloading it. Check that out at capradio.org to get the link and other great digital content. At capradio.org, or give us a call at 1-800-800-5867.
Every amount counts, no matter what you want to give or how often you want to give it. The most important thing is that you do, that you donate and become a part of this community. So donate today. Call us at 1-800-800-5867 or capradio.org. Thank you.